And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Call Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again on this Monday morning. Folks, believe it or not, I'm coming to you all the way from Sioux City, Iowa right now. I'm having a wonderful time out here. I'm on a Stand Against Communism tour. We did a Stand Against Marxism conference on Saturday. I was at the tremendously lively, spirit-filled Cornerstone World Outreach Church in Sioux City, Iowa, yesterday morning. Had a wonderful time with the congregation there and Pastor Kerry Gordon, Senior Pastor. I want to thank you all for the hospitality that you've shown me. And I want all of you listening to know that American Family Radio is being heard in Iowa. Everywhere I've gone, to the two meetings I've gone to, people come up to me, I listen to you on the radio. I listen to you on the radio. I listen to you on American Family Radio. And so, you know, that's always gratifying to hear, folks. I say, you know that people are out there, but you know, we radio hosts have to use our imagination because we can't see you, but we know you're there. But when you meet people who say, I'm one of those folks in my car, on my job, at home, that I've got the radio tuned in and I'm listening to you, or I'm listening to you live stream on AFR.net. And you say, wow, it's great to put faces behind the microphone. So thank you all. We are, American Family Radio is alive and well in Iowa. Praise God. As a matter of fact, tonight, I'll try to give you that information. I don't have it in front of me, but tonight I'm going to be at another spot here in Iowa. And we're going to end up in Waterloo, Iowa on Tuesday night. And I'll try to give you all that information so that those of you who are listening in Iowa who want to join me where I'm going to be. Let's see if I know where I'm going to be tomorrow night. Don't exactly know where I'm going to be. Tonight, I'm going to be at the Waterloo Center for the Arts tomorrow night, 225 Commercial Street in Waterloo, Iowa. That's Tuesday night, beginning at 6:30. The Waterloo Center for the Arts, 225 Commercial Street, Waterloo, Iowa. So if you're in the area, come on by and be sure to let me know. Hey, I'm a listener at American Family Radio. I hear the program because really, folks, that does my heart good. And I know that it does the network good to hear me say that. Now you go places and people just come up to you and say, hey, I'm a listener. I listen to the radio program. I listen to the network. So God bless each and every one of you. And again, thank you. The folks in Iowa are some of the most hospitable and warm and decent people that you'll ever want to meet. And I've met a lot of patriots who are deeply concerned about the socialist, Marxist, communist influence that seems to have taken root in the hearts and minds of so many in our country. And I'll tell you what, they're not sitting around waiting for something to happen. They're trying to make something happen by getting fully engaged and involved. And God bless each and every one of you for it. I also want to take a moment to say thank you all for the tremendous outpouring of support during our share-a-thon. I'm serious, folks. You know, wow, I hope you all can hear how much I mean this, but I am so honored to be a part of this network. I really. And, you know, because, of course, by the grace of God, the vision of Brother Don Wildman, the vision of his son, Tim, and running the network. But, folks, I can't leave you out because we couldn't do what we do without you. And so I want you all to know how gratified I am that you responded so generously. My understanding is the best response to a share-a-thon we've ever had. So God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so much for appreciating the work we do, for praying for us, and yes, for contributing and supporting the work we do with your tangible gifts. So God bless you for that too. Well, folks, there's plenty to talk about, isn't there? And there always is. You know, sometimes you just shake your head at the utter insanity to which we seem to have descended. Many seem to have descended, not us, but into which many seem to have descended in this country. And there just never seems to be an end to it. And, you know, the interesting thing is, while the Democrat Party, the left, the so-called progressives, I mean, we just might as well call them what they are now, folks. I mean, these people are Marxists. But while they are toying with this stuff and seem to be enjoying their romance with Marxism and socialism and frankly communism, you look at where it's been tried. In the most recent place it's been tried, Venezuela. And folks, it is an unmitigated disaster. And you know, let's face it, there's only one explanation for people embracing with such passion a clearly failed ideology and clearly failed ideas. They are deceived, folks. They are deeply and profoundly deceived. It doesn't make any logical sense. It doesn't make any tangible sense. It doesn't make anybody's, in other words, you could say, well, people's lives have gotten so much better under these systems. And you could say, well, okay, yeah, but they bring with them values that we don't agree with. Okay, but you could make that argument. But folks, it doesn't bring anything. It doesn't help the rich. It doesn't help the poor. It doesn't help the middle-income people. It plunges societies into totalitarian terror. And this is what they want for us? No, thank you. I mean, the God of this world has blinded their eyes so they can't see the gospel of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. They can't see the value of liberty. And of course, the sad thing is as was made clear in the Stand Against Marxism conference on Saturday, is sadly, many people are pushing this stuff under the banner of Christianity. Jesus was a socialist. That's a lie out of the pit of hell. Jesus was no socialist. Heaven is not going to be socialist. The kingdom of God is not going to be socialist. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the word of God says, even in the eternal judgment, he will reward us according to our works. Not from each according to his ability, to each according to his needs, but he will reward us according to our works. Remember when he told the parable about giving out the talents? And to one he gave one, to another two, to another five. And then when he came back, he rewarded them according to the initiative and the energy and the investment that they made with what they have. He didn't say to the one who took five and made 10, oh, well, you know what? That's not fair that you've got 10. We're going to take what you've got and we're going to give it to the one who only has one. Jesus was not a socialist, folks. This is a pernicious, damnable, palpable lie. And you've got, sadly, people who claim to be Christians buying into this social justice nonsense. Whew. Folks, we'll be back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
I often say on my radio program that we spend millions of dollars each year in research studies to validate what most mothers already know. This is certainly the case with the studies attempting to explain why certain people procrastinate. Andrew Centella writes about this in his book, Soon, An Overdue History of Procrastination from Leonardo and Darwin to You and Me. He explains the real reason you procrastinate in a recent article in Time magazine. People who procrastinate often postpone projects in order to have a self-serving excuse. If they wait until the last minute and do a poor job, they can always say that they could have done better if they didn't run out of time. Psychologists have a term for this practice. They call it self-handicapping. It is a strategy where people are actually sabotaging their own efforts. It is protection against the ego-crushing consequences of failure. It is worth mentioning that self-handicapping can take many other forms, like substance abuse or lousy sleep habits, but it shows up most prominently when people postpone work on a project. Psychologists have found that self-handicapping shows up in other ways. For example, students are more likely to postpone studying for a test when they are told that it was a meaningful evaluation of their abilities. They did not exhibit the same behavior if they were told the test was meaningless and was being taken only for fun. Consider this contrast. When the test counted, students procrastinated. When it didn't count, they diligently prepared. Procrastination appeals to some because it provides a way of controlling life that seems too chaotic and unmanageable, but it's helpful to know that often procrastination adds to the chaos. It is better to buckle down and get started on the project. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For more information about issues covered on Viewpoints, visit pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
Putting life in perspective with Harry Reeder.
May I really exhort people, whether it's reading or watching, to not let your mind and your heart and your eyes fall upon that which you know is wrong, which you know depicts ungodliness and its allurements. I think Christians today are making terrible choices of what we watch on television and movies, and what once was unthinkable has not only become thinkable and doable and acceptable, but I mean, I find it recommended. I even hear of video clips and sermons of movies that are just absolutely blasphemous before God, and we wonder why our children will then go and watch those movies.
For additional Christian resources from Harry Reeder, download the Briarwood PCA app. Available at the App Store, Google Play, Amazon, and the Windows Store.
Brian Fisher here. The Democrats are trivializing the power of impeachment in a profoundly dangerous way. The founders never intended it as a way for losers to overturn an election result they don't like. The risks for Republicans who would even think about voting to remove the president, and more on how we should view the president's Syrian pullout next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. Folks, for example, we're talking about this tremendously deceived ideology of Marxism and socialism and communism that is infiltrating its way through our society and is even finding its way into the church. Yes, folks, into the church. Well, look, Venezuela is the latest iteration of this deception. And right now, Venezuela has completely cracked down on all freedom of speech. There's a big article in Breitbart, if you want to find that. But they're saying Hugo Chavez started this process and they basically destroyed all freedom of speech in Venezuela. The biggest Venezuelan TV channel, RCTV, was shut down because it had an anti-Chavez stand. And they have shut down several media channels already. In fact, according to Venezuela's National Press Workers Syndicate, 115 media outlets were closed between 2013 and 2018. And guess what the concept is that they are using to shut the... Oh, and they're borrowing China's software systems for monitoring their citizenry. Now, Venezuela is bankrupt. Venezuela is a completely impoverished country, but the elites in the government are using resources to monitor and control the citizenry. And they're using China's software systems that they're using to monitor their citizenry so that they can control the citizens of Venezuela. And you know what the concept is that they're using to limit free speech? They're dubbing certain speech illegal because it is, you ready for this? Hate speech. Does that sound familiar? Hate speech. Anything that's hate speech can be banned completely. And any media entity that purveys hate speech can be closed completely, shut down completely. By the way, anybody who posts quote-unquote hate speech on social media can be arrested. This is what the so-called progressives, we ought to call them regressives, this is what they are proposing. This is what they want. This is a totalitarian system, folks. It has never worked anywhere it's been tried. And yet you've got people who are so self-deceived and so indoctrinated that somehow they believe that an American version of a totalitarian system that has brought nothing but misery and genocide and starvation and suffering and shortages everywhere it's been tried, that somehow, it'll work here in America. You've got to have BBs for brains if you're a thinking adult to buy into that. Either that, or you're just evil and you're willing to do whatever needs to be done in order to get people under your control. Because folks, let's face it, this is ultimately what it's all about. It is about controlling people. It is about power. And it has come to America, sadly, and of course it's been working its way into our system for a long, long time. But it is finally here. And here again, folks, let me say this, and please hear what I'm saying, because I really believe that this is absolutely true, and it may portend something far more dangerous, but for the intervention of Almighty God and for people like us standing up. We are already living in a totalitarian culture. Our government is not totalitarian. It's led by the duly elected president of the United States, and we have a Congress, but the culture has become totalitarian. Because basically, political correctness has been used to create what I think it was George Lukács, the communist Hungarian political theorist, called cultural terrorism. I think it was he, not Gramsci, that coined that phrase, cultural terrorism, where you terrorize people. If you dare contradict the orthodoxy, you will be punished. You will lose your job. You will lose your business. You may even lose your freedom. Just ask Kim Davis in Kentucky what happened to her when she refused to sign the marriage license for two homosexuals. It's called cultural terrorism is a good way to put it, because it is totalitarianism on a cultural level. So that if you work in a corporation and you say you're opposed to same-sex marriage, in most corporations in America today, you'll probably lose your job. So what? Keep your mouth shut. And folks, in some ways, the culture's already under the control of people who think more like communists than like free Americans. And they're trying to impose that on the rest of us. And let's never, ever forget, and that'll lead me into the topics I want to bring up, and then I want you all to begin to comment, and I'll give you the number in a second. One of the major tenets of communism, folks, of Marxism, is to destroy the traditional family. The traditional family must be destroyed because it's a tool of educating people into traditional values, and you want to destroy those values, you got to destroy the fundamental institution that propagates those values, and that is the two-parent monogamous family, husband and wife. And George Lukács was the first Marxist theorist who said one way to do that is through perverse, radical sex education among children. You push that among kids. And look at where we've come to now. from the time George Lukacs first introduced this in Hungary back in the 1930s to now, where you got drag queen story time, you got kindergartens being taught about homosexuality and how to perform various sex acts in kindergarten, folks. And they want to point the finger at us who are trying to protect the innocence of our children and say, we're bad people, we're crazy. Oh, you don't want that grown man going into a female bathroom with your granddaughter? Oh, what kind of monster are you? Folks, this stuff is all out of the Marxist playbook. And look, I dare say the people who are implementing this stuff, they don't even know that they're communists. Because in their minds, they're not. But they've been so indoctrinated with this teaching that they don't even realize what they represent. That's why we're no longer in an era, folks, where we're talking about card-carrying communists and being able to point the finger and say, oh, you're a member of the Communist Party. It's way beyond that. It's not whether people are card-carrying members. It's whether they're carriers of the ideology. And folks, I'm convinced of this. The Democratic Party, to coin the phrase of my good friend Jerry Corsi, who wrote a book, Why the Democrat Party's Gone Communist. Folks, they've gone communist. Now, if you called them a communist, they'd probably yelp like a hit dog, you know. But if you examine what they think, the ideas that they hold, folks, there's no more effective way to control people than to control their health care. You control their health care. You control their health. You control their health. You control them. That when people have to go through you to get the treatment that they need, in order to try to remain healthy or become healthy. Folks, they turn you, this is a way of turning people into slaves. And you talk to people who live in, I talked to a group of folks not too long ago who lived in Canada. They are Americans, but they lived very close to the border. And so they spent a lot of time in Canada. And that they lived in Canada at one point, and you ask them what the healthcare is like. They say, if you want to get treated, you better go over, you better cross the border and get back to America. Because there are long waiting lines, and then there's evaluation of whether you really need this treatment, of how old you are, and what your quality of life is. Folks, this is what we're now being told America needs. This is what all of these Democrat candidates are singing the same song, and the hymn they're singing is from the Marxist hymn book. And you know, let's face it, folks, aside from these particular mechanisms that they want to use, oh, we'll give you free education and turn you into our slave. Oh, we'll give you free healthcare and turn you into our slave. We'll give you guaranteed income and turn you into our slave. Folks, socialism is Marxism. Marxism is communism. All of it is slavery. All of it is slavery. But aside from that, folks, it begins with this premise. There is no God. That's the premise that Marx begins with. There is no God. Which made him and everybody who follows his teaching and thinking a fool. Because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
It's an old story. I'm sure most of you have heard it more than once, but it's a timeless story and worth passing on again and again, even if we have heard it before. Around the year 1490, there were two young men, both struggling young artists, who were very good friends, but both of them were also poor, and that meant that they had to support themselves while they studied art. Because the work took so much of their time and energy, their advancement in the field of art was extremely slow. Discussing their plight, they came upon an agreement. They would draw straws, they decided, and the one who won would study while the other would work to support both of them. The two drew straws, and the one who lost went to work to support both of the men. The young artist who won went to the cities of Europe to study. History records that he soon became recognized as one of the outstanding artists of his time. A part of their agreement also said that when the one who won the drawing became successful, he would then support the other in his studies. So, after gaining success, the winner went home to get his friend and let him come study art, while the successful artist supported both men on his earnings. When the man who had become a recognized artist saw his friend again, he discovered that the very hard manual labor which his friend had to perform had caused his fingers to become stiff and twisted. He was no longer able to execute the delicate strokes with the brush, which were necessary for an artist. It was apparent that the dream of becoming a successful artist could never come true for the man who had lost the drawing. The successful artist noticed a very unusual trait in his friend whose fingers were twisted. The friend accepted his fate not bitterly, but was happy that he'd played a part in the success of the other man. He actually rejoiced in his friend's success. One day, the artist came upon his friend unexpectedly. He saw him kneeling and praying. He was praying for the success of his friend, although he himself could no longer realize his dream of becoming an artist. Something about the kneeling man caught the attention of the artist, and he hurriedly sketched the hands folded in prayer. Later, the artist took that sketch and from it drew one of the most famous and copied paintings in the world. The man who painted the hands was Albrecht Dürer. The man whose hands he painted was Franz Nigstein. And the picture he painted is known today as the Praying Hands. The beauty and inspiration of the Praying Hands comes from the life that made it possible. And remember also that drawing a picture of beauty and inspiration isn't nearly as important as living one.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. And folks, I was just commenting on the fact that people who I know have lived and worked in Canada say this touted health care for all is a joke. It's a joke. It's another way of getting control of people. And you know what's interesting? I saw an article put out by CNBC at the end of last week about the president of the Ford Foundation. His name is Darren Walker. I believe he's a black man. I can't be absolutely sure of that. And I only point that out because he presides over the Ford Foundation president. But here's what he had to say about America. In other words, he presides over one of the wealthiest foundations in the world. And here's what he had to say. The American dream as we know it, which was the envy of the world, is no longer the envy of the world. In fact, the United States has fallen behind other industrialized nations in terms of economic mobility. If you want the American dream today, you ought to move to Canada. You know, folks, the other thing that bothers me about this ideology, and I mean, it ought to be obvious, but I said its fundamental premise is that there is no God. But, you know, for today's modern Marxist, communist, socialist, a fundamental premise is America is a bad place. Yeah, America is a bad place. Barack Obama believed that because Barack Obama's a Marxist. And this guy, this Darren Walker, this ill-educated man who presides over the Ford Foundation, he believes that. And it engenders in people this hatred and resentment of the United States of America. I mean, and he says, we need to return to a shared prosperity. It is shared. Get out there and get off of your backside and work. You know, that's how you share in the prosperity. He says, the escalator is still moving in Canada, but it stopped moving in America. You know, where do these people get this stuff? Obviously, they're indoctrinated with this anti-American ideology. You see, America has been the biggest bulwark against communism that's ever existed in the world. Since communism reared its ugly head, the biggest problem communism's had to face is the existence of the United States of America. And so, you know, you got to be convinced America's a terrible place. America's bad. Oh, yeah. But then explain something to me. Why do so many people want to come here? Why do we have a problem at our southern border? Why do we have a problem with people coming on visitor visas and overstaying their visas and trying never to go back to the place from which they came? If America is so bad, and upward mobility in America is a thing of the past. Folks, these people are thoroughly indoctrinated with Marxist thinking. This is what I mean. I call them communists not because I believe that they're members of the Communist Party USA, because most of them probably are not. And like I said, most of them would yelp like a hit dog if you told them they were communists. But in thinking, they really are. And you know what? I think that if you push them, they would express admiration for the contributions of Karl Marx to the political thinking of people in the world today. I mean, after all, I pointed out that Bill Clinton, who was considered at the time, or considered during the time he was president, to represent a more moderate Democratic Party. You know, the what was it called? The DLC, the Democrat Leadership Council, was considered to be a more moderate wing of the Democrat Party. And Bill Clinton made it a point before leaving Europe, when he thought he might not have a chance to return, made it a point to visit the grave of Karl Marx. Now, folks, one of the places I will probably never in my life visit, unless I'm taken there against my will, is the grave of Karl Marx. But Bill Clinton personally wanted to visit the grave of Karl Marx. Why? Because obviously he has admiration for the man. I have no admiration for him whatsoever. As far as I'm concerned, Karl Marx is in hell, unless he repented before he died of all the garbage that he spewed into the world. Why in the world would I want to go visit a man who's been responsible for more pain and suffering and murder and mayhem and starvation and genocide than perhaps any other political thinker that's ever existed? Why in the world would I want to go visit his grave for what? But Bill Clinton did. They admire him. They admire his theories. They admire his thinking. I may not be a communist, they probably say, but I'll tell you what, Karl Marx had a lot of insights that we need to recognize. Yeah. Yeah, he sure did. How to turn whole countries of people into slaves. That's the insight he had. And by the way, Elizabeth Warren is running around talking about we've got to allow everybody who wants to come in across the border to come in. Open borders. Why? Because she thinks they'll bring with them leftist ideology that will allow them to control all the other Americans. They will use anybody they can. Anybody they can in order to get control of this country and its people. I'll tell you, folks, we've got a job to do. And here again, perhaps the saddest aspect of this, and perhaps the most dangerous aspect of it, is the degree to which this stuff is finding its way into the church and into Christian circles. Folks, that's one of the most dangerous things because see, I really believe that the church, the body of Christ, Christians, are the very best hope this nation has, because we are the representatives of God Almighty. We are intercessors in behalf of our country and our fellow citizens. And if you destroy the vitality of the church, Jesus said that the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be trampled underfoot of men. And that's exactly what will happen if the church ever loses its vital connection with the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word, and allow that to be substituted for some namby-pamby nonsense political correctness to make people happy and make sure you don't offend anybody. Folks, the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus said his name would be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. You got people running around in the Christian community talking about, or claiming to be part of the Christian community, talking about, let's not offend people. On their theory, Jesus should have walked into the temple, and instead of whipping people out of there with cords and yelling at them, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, you've made it a den of thieves," he should have walked in and said, "Now, folks, let's talk about all of this. Because, you know, we want to make sure that we are open and affirming to all orientations." I mean, right? That's what he should have said, according to some of the garbage that we're hearing spewing out of certain quote-unquote Christian circles now. And folks, let the church be the church. Let the people of God preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and assert the truth of the word of God without compromise, without apology, without dilution. I mean, throw it out there like throwing meat at a bear, folks, and just keep throwing it as long as God gives you the strength to put it out there, put it out there, because the word of God cannot be defeated. All this compromising nonsense, the devil just looks at that and laughs. And just says, "Thank you for the open door." But the word of God, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away." So folks, we've just got to, the church has just got to be the church. And take no prisoners. All right, we're going to take your calls when we come back. The number is 866-963-2030. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Nope, I'm sorry. I just gave you all the wrong number. I'll be back in a moment.
Did anybody else out here marry somebody opposite of you? Almost completely opposite.
Cynthia Tobias on Focus on the Family Minute.
Did you think it would be a refreshing perspective? Have you noticed on a day-to-day basis, no matter how much you love that person, it's not that refreshing? Primarily because we are living proof that our way works. Why would I want to do it your way if I already know my way works? God has made us incredibly complex, and he had a design and purpose for us, obviously. But it takes us our whole lives sometime to figure out, even understanding ourselves, let alone understanding each other. There'll be times even now where Jack will pull me aside and say, "Are there other people who understand you when you talk this way?"
Laugh with your spouse about your differences. More from Cynthia at FamilyMinute.org.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at AFA.net.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
We're now confirmed dead in this latest violent attack. Abortion continues to be a hot-button issue.
Man, it seems like the news gets worse every day. I can't even watch it. There's just nothing but bad news.
You want some good news? Jesus loves you.
Yeah, right. What does that mean?
It means Jesus, who was actually God in human form, suffered and died to pay the penalty for sinners like you and me. He took the blame for all the sin in the world and then suffered and died so that we wouldn't have to be punished.
So what? I'm not a sinner.
Actually, we're all sinners. But God says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we'll be saved.
That sounds like good news. Is it true?
Here, let me show you in the Bible.
Share the good news today. A reminder from American Family Radio.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
The number is 888-589-8840, because when I'm not in my studio, I pulled up the wrong document and gave you all an old number. The number is 888-589-8840. I want to come to your calls. Let's see. Let's go to Bart of Mississippi. Bart, welcome.
Hello?
Yes, Bart. Welcome to the Awakening. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I was, from my understanding, the scriptures about the way that it's not supposed to be. It seemed like communism is the thing that's going to fulfill the prophecies of the one world government and the control of the people. And I was wondering what your opinion was on that.
You know, Bart, I was thinking that very thing as I was talking. I never got around to saying it, but I was about to say something to this effect. You know, I think the Antichrist is going to be a communist, or certainly a totalitarianist of some kind, and he'll probably have a whole lot of communist thinking, because we see with the practices of China monitoring every citizen, giving every citizen social demerits for their failure to adhere to the communist doctrine. That sounds just like the Antichrist saying you can't buy or sell unless the mark of the beast is on your forehead or in your hand. So I think you're onto something. We're seeing these ideologies arising now, and the technologies arising that can be coupled with them in order to have absolute control over everything and everybody, because there will be nowhere for anyone to hide from the ability to be monitored. So yeah, I mean, I think you're right. He'll probably be an amalgam of that, but I think there's going to be a big, wide swath of communist ideology involved in it, because he is going to be a totalitarianist who wants absolute control over everything and everybody on the face of the earth. So, Bart, you're right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Mary of Kansas. Mary, welcome.
Yes, thank you. I was listening to the news this morning, and they were talking about in Canada, they would know more about their euthanizing the children in 6 months, so they got into 2020. And, you know, that's moving south fast and fast. So I was asking the people that are Democrats, if you really love your kids, even if they have a mental or physical disability, do you really want to vote for the leaders and Democrats that are saying that they want to murder the weaker sex? Are people by euthanizing them, these little kids or even adults that are helpless in nursing homes? So think about your loved ones before you vote, even for your own party. So I was just asking people to double think their thoughts before they vote Democrat. Thank you for listening to me.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Mary. Well, Mary, I think we got to continue to ask the question of Christians
everywhere and every time we have an opportunity, how can you vote for a party that has become the party of death, the party of denial of God, the party of homosexuality? Because once you reject God, once you say, as they said on August 24th in their most recent meeting, they say the atheists and the agnostics represent democratic values. In other words, you're saying God is not in the picture. Well, human beings simply become a commodity that you can dispense with when it's no longer convenient for them to be around. So you start with abortion, but you end with euthanasia, and eventually you come to everything in between, which is why communists have always killed millions of people, because individuals do not matter. They're not sacred. They're not God's creation. They're simply flesh and blood and bone, and when they're in the way, you just get rid of them. So you got a child that's not quite what you think the child should be, maybe mentally or emotionally. Just kill it. No big deal. Go get another one. And eventually, maybe with all this gene splicing and genetic technology we're developing, maybe you order a designer child that's got all the qualities you think they ought to have. I mean, this stuff, folks, is monstrous. How can Christians continue to vote for these people? And forgive me for putting a fine point on this, folks, but how can so many Black Christians vote for a party that has become so clearly and demonstrably evil in its thinking? I mean, I don't care what they claim they're going to do for the poor. You know, if the devil came and said, hey, you know what? Vote for me. I'm going to help the poor. What would you say? Well, you know what? If the devil's going to help the poor, I mean, I have to make an exception here and go with the devil. Let's go to James in Arkansas. James, welcome. James, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, James.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
Appreciate you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you very much. I just wanted to share with you that years ago I used to get a publication out of New York, a man named Walter White, and the publication was The Western Front, and he was educating people on the accomplishments of Joseph McCarthy, how he single-handedly got the Marxist professors out of the universities. And after his demise, the Congress reinstated all of them, or the universities reinstated all of them, giving back pay. But one thing he said, a communist is a communist, and by any other name, he's still a communist. And you talk about designer children. I think Hillary is a designer communist.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, she's something, Walter. I don't know quite what to make of Hillary, because she is a piece of work. Thanks for the call, James. Let's go to Lucille in Mississippi. Welcome, Lucille.
Yes, Bishop, I was listening to you, and when I went to the doctor's office the other day, I just start talking about socialism, and then I have a lot of Blacks in my neighborhood. I've been informing them, and I tell the Blacks how that it was the Democrats that they encouraged slavery, and that they're really Marxists, and it's about stealing, how they want to take from people that work. And give to people that don't work, and it leads to concentration camps, it leads to misery and death. And I tell them that they put all these abortion clinics in these poverty Blacks, and how in New York that one out of two aborted baby, and that Latinos are the highest percentage voting among minorities, and how Trump has put more of them back to work.
Yeah,
and I tell the Blacks how they've tried to keep them down all these years and keep them on a plantation. And I tell them, if you vote for abortion and you're a Christian, that's sinning.
And they've engineered the virtual destruction of the Black family. And they have no answers to these problems except for more of the same. So, Lucille, you keep speaking up and you keep telling people the truth. I encourage everybody to do that. And if folks get mad at you, maybe they'll get mad and then ultimately wake up. Let's go to Andrea of Ohio. Andrea, welcome. All right, Andrea, you can call us back. Mandy of Arkansas. Welcome, Mandy. Mandy, are you there?
I am.
Oh, yeah, Mandy. Oh, okay, Mandy, Alabama?
Yes.
All right, go right ahead, Mandy. Welcome.
Okay. What my comment was, I work in the healthcare industry, and I have watched for years the insurance companies started with Medicare mandate for these, quote, health screenings, and now we've gotten to where even private pay insurances are mandating that you go through health screenings and that there are certain tests you have to have run in order for you to receive the health care that you're paying for. This is just a way of getting us used to the fact that one day they will mandate, or try one day, to mandate our health care, telling us when we can have stuff, when we can't have stuff, and whether your life is worth the amount of money they're going to put out for these tests or procedures.
Mandy, you are absolutely right. My mother-in-law, God rest her soul, beautiful Christian woman, she had an intestinal blockage when she was in her early 90s, but she was she was still lucid. And my wife and I reflected on the fact that under Obamacare or some of these other systems, they would have told her, lady, you're too old. We're not giving you an operation at this stage of your life. Just go somewhere and die. I mean, so that you're right. They're preparing us for this. And we know that Obamacare was just the beginning of a process that was supposed to take us there. Let's see if we can get a couple more calls in. Thank you, Mandy. Let's go to Lori in Oklahoma. Lori, welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. You had asked a question earlier about Democrats and why they were still voting the way they were. And then you said something about why we're Black Democrats voting that way. Well, part of the reason is they don't listen to American Family Radio. They don't know the truth. The other side of that is there's an absolute brainwashing that goes on through the media. And for some reason, we as a people, and it doesn't matter the color of your skin, identify more quickly as victims than we do as overcomers or people who want to know the truth. And we have bought into, since Eric Holder and Obama have been in office, there has been a seed that has been very, very aggressive in dividing our nation all over again on color. I see it with white folks. I see it with Black folks.
Yep.
I see it with everybody. And it breaks my heart that Christian, born-again believers have fallen prey to white privilege and Black Lives Matter instead of seeing that we are one new man in Christ. And it's sick.
All right. Hey, Lori, I'll tell you what. You're preaching, Lori. You're preaching. God bless you. I agree with every word you have spoken. This stuff is pernicious. And the fact that Christians have bought into it is a blasphemy to God, as far as I'm concerned, because the Bible makes clear in 2 Corinthians 5:16, it says, therefore now know we no man according to the flesh. While we once knew Christ according to the flesh, henceforth know we him no longer. And people running around knowing people according to the flesh and claiming to be Christians. Come on, get off that. Well, folks, God bless you. Thank you for your prayers. I've got to go, but remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.